Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday, Saturday. Nights in white satin, never reaching the end. Letters I've written, never meaning to send. Beauty I'd always miss with these eyes before. Just what the truth is, I can't say anymore, 'cause I love you. Defend just what you want to be. You will be in the end, and I'll love you.
November 1967, and it was featured in The Big Chill and featured in apparently a theme park in South Carolina. Had a whole themed ride on Knights in White Satin. So there you go. Hatter, do you remember that song?
I sure did. I had it, and it's a good story with the theme based album set, the two album set. They were asked to create something for a new equipment, new sound, speakers and such. So they mess around with different French horns and symphonies and, you know, that kind of thing. They had no idea it was, once that song was made, they were asked to do a theme, which they already were already doing. But good. They had no idea that the album of that song was going to be a hit like it was, the album set. Yeah, Moody Blues.
Yeah.
I got one little story. Hold on. I got one story I got to tell. Being a group of guys, we went at Christmas time. We were going to hike into this town called out of Washington. Now, Washington is a one building old town that was the connection for supplies for the gold mine. This is on the Yuba River. So you can hike in from there. You can't drive any further, but there is a fire break that you follow. It's about 5 miles in to these buildings that are right on the Yuba River. Now, we went up at a bad time. Nobody checked the weather. So it was like a whiteout. There was no wind, but the snow was coming down, really fluffy white snow. It was very, very dreamlike. So what I did was we brought a stereo that was battery powered, and it had two different speakers, and I was at one area. So we played Nights in White Satin while we're hiking through this whiteout on this mountain. And the thing was it was pretty awesome.
That's cool. Well, anyway, great song, and welcome, Hatter, and welcome also to my other co-host, Deborah Lee. Hi, Deb. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Hi, Deb.
Now, if you happen to stumble upon us, we are actually, you wouldn't know it from the start of the show, but we're actually a group of poets, and we're on allpoetry.com, and you can come and find us by going to allpoetry.com, getting yourself an account and looking up a group called A Team of Voices. And if you go and say you want to get into A Team of Voices, the person will meet you at the door is Deb. And if you get inside, you'll see Jay Hatter and myself, AP Taylor, and Deb all being part of that group, A Team of Voices. And we run this little program every week, most times. Didn't last week, but most times we do. And we have a theme each week, and the theme this week is the White Knight. Now, of course, you wouldn't know that. We just did Knight and White Satin, which is sort of a little bit different. But anyway, the White Knight is the theme, and the White Knight came from, and a White Knight is, you know, like a legendary sort of person who comes in and somebody, and these days it's more seen as if there's a business that's sort of under threat, then a company comes in to help them and save them, and they seem to be the White Knight. So the White Knight, or the origin of White Knight, goes back to the 12th century, Hatter, and it was written by a French poet, Chrétien de Troyes, and he wrote, in French, obviously, about the King Arthur story. And in the King Arthur story, he referred to Lancelot, the legendary good knight, as the Blanc Chevalier, or the White Knight in French. And so that is where the White Knight started from, 12th century French.
It's like a Guinevere and stuff, right?
Well, and of course, French through the whole thing, Guinevere being a great example. So anyway, that is how the White Knight came about. Now, before we move on, Deb, there was some sense that you might have a poem that might have fitted with our starting theme. Is that right?
Well, actually, it was dark and depressing, and I decided not to bring it and brought something a little more fun.
Depressing. No, we don't need that. That's okay. That's cool. We don't need that. We can work without that. And so, that being the case,
The White Knight is backwards.
Well, yeah, maybe. Now, did you want to go with your poem first, or do you want me to go with my poem first?
It's up to you. Up to you.
Okay. Well, because I had a whole stack of stuff that I could have written about White Knight, yeah? And I actually did myself a little list here. And I thought, well, I would actually go through this list of White Knight things, and that would be my poem. Yeah, that was how I started this whole little adventure, because I thought about White Knight as being an eclipse, and White Knight in Australia was a peppermint chocolate bar, and it's a paint company, and it's a saviour from hostile takeover, it's a mascara, it's Lancelot, a whole heap of stuff, right? And I thought, well, I'm going to do something with all that, yeah? And then I didn't. Thought, well, no, stop it. I want to do a sort of, you know, classical sort of banjo-esque type poem. And so, stop it. That's what I'm going to write. So that's exactly what I did, Adam. I just put my list of all this stuff that I had to one side, and I did that. Now, you put your poem on the board, so you're showing great confidence. Do you want to go first?
Sure. I'll do that.
Okay. Right, Pat up. Now, yeah. Have you got eyes for it today, or did you want me to read?
No, maybe you should.
Maybe I should?
My eyes are sort of...
Okay, well, you've got it up.
Yeah, my eyes are sort of bad.
I like your image, by the way. I've used that image before, so I like the image before. This is the White Knight and by Jay Hatter, and it goes a little bit like this. The White Knight is selling a place in history, fighting with a loaded pen, reciting poetry. The king is castled to queen's level pawn. Sometimes I forget what side I'm really on. Keeping clear of Cheshire cats, knowing where I think I'm at. Filling time on burlap rugs, always what I'm thinking of. Talking backwards to know the exact words. Throwing blind the golden shields. White is night by low star bright to view the battlefield. Running down a rainstorm drain, nothing ever remains the same. Sailor made out of respect, this is as far as I'll ever get. End poem. Yeah?
Sort of.
Like that. Well, I thought it was interesting, Hatter.
You read it well.
Thank you. I sort of put my own diction in there, but it... because there's a couple of stanzas that work together beautifully, which is the talking backwards to know the exact words, throwing blind the golden shields. And that's, I could tell you were in the frame then when you were writing that. White is night by low star bright to view the battlefield. That's classic. I'm in the news side pocket type pad of writing. Yeah. And the next stanza is straight out of the Hatter lexicon, and the last one you're like, I don't know how I'm going to end it.
Taylor made.
I know. I knew what you were trying to do. Deb, what did you think of Hatter's White Knight?
Hatter, I think this came out great, especially those first two couplets. The White Knight is selling a place in history, fighting with a loaded pen, reciting poetry. I like that play on words. And the... Queen's level pawn was a nice touch. Now, but then you also crossed in like a little bit of Wonderland with the Cheshire cat, which was pretty cool. White is night by low star bright to view the battlefield. Running down a rainstorm drain, nothing ever remains the same. There's like a couple different emotions all in the brevity. So very clever brevity with cool couplets all the way through.
Thanks.
There you go. Oh, who's that behind you, Hatter? Are you talking to somebody?
Are you yelling at me?
No, Joy, I'm sorry, my roommate walked in and she's talking on the telephone.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. I thought you might have had another conversation. That's okay. It's all good. But I straight out of Hatter Central, and it's funny, you know, because mine's sort of straight out of AP Central too, really, if you have a look. We went back to exactly the same sort of, you know, basics of what we would normally write on, if that makes any sense. So let me do mine, because yours was out of Hatter Central, mine's out of AP Central. This is the White Knight, and goes a little bit like this. Boughs lie twisted over dried crimson sand, stars beyond gather a frosting soon dense. Scatter of wallabies eat a slight grass band, soon patter retreat towards bush over fence. Glistening lights arc by creek canvas bends, chasing meteors the galaxies waxed cream. Frogs interrupt, a night percussion befriends, a tumble of water rushes past within stream. Eels, they squirm deeply into formed caverns, by dingoes mosey as a pack within shrubs. Swans, white echoes seek out a rise and turns, with yelping playful rolls. Two baby ducks. Fish race a scurry into rivers building waters, surge of bubbles will a nearby ocean delight. And across the sands in waves in quarters, a soft cloak of rain showers. The White Knight. In palm.
The White Knight. Eels. Do you have eels? I know New Zealand does. Do you have eels in the rivers?
We have eels. We do. In fact, the local indigenous community farmed eels. They had little tunnels and caverns that they built that sort of let the waters go in very narrow streams and rivulets. And they would farm eels in those places. Kind of fun.
Is it a food source?
Yes. Yeah, food source. Yeah. Absolutely. Yes. Definitely.
Is it good?
I'm not a big fan of eel, Hatter. I have to say, I've had eel a couple of times, and
yeah.
I'm sorry to all of those people who like eel out there, and there are a number, but eel is not my thing. It's quite dark, inked, oily, and everything.
Okay.
It's sort of like tuna about five times intense.
Okay.
And I'm not a big tuna fan. And if you sort of turn that into something that's five times more intense than tuna, you really haven't got me. And I'm not really describing it in a very lovely way, am I? But I'm not a big eel fan, Hatter.
I wouldn't be either.
Okay. No, I don't think you would. It's very, very, very distinctive taste. Deb, I'm expecting you're not a football fan either, but did you want to say a few words about what is probably a pretty classical AP piece, really?
Yeah.
Well, as far as the eel, never tried it, not interested. But I love how the poem came out, and the art is stunning. The play with light there is really awesome. Stars beyond gather, a frosting soon dense, scatter of wallabies eat, a slight grass bend. excuse me. I like the mention of the wallabies, which would bring in thoughts of where you are. And then the chasing meteors are galaxies, waxed cream, frogs interrupt, a night percussion, befriends, a tumble of water. A tumble of water is perfect because you can see the motion in the water, in the art. And you can also see like a storm moving in and blocking the clouds. So the wording you chose for your imagery is really awesome. And the fish race a scurry into rivers building waters, surge of bubbles. The surge of bubbles is clearly vivid in the art and the poem. So I think they complement each other brilliantly.
Thanks, Deb. Well, I have to say, this goes back to my early years of university. So I was at university and I originally studied psychology. And we had a little dynasty of us that ran the Psychology Student Society at Melbourne University. And back in those times, we would do a series of things for the psychology department. Like we would, you know, go and record lectures, and we would hire out the lectures to students who missed the lecture because, of course, it wasn't done any other way. And so we had this sort of raft of tape recordings that people could get. And we used to do makeup statistics tutorials, and there's a whole SIP series things that we've done. So because of that, we got this beautiful room in the bottom floor of the psychology building, quite a big area with its own kitchen and stuff, and just a brilliant space because we did all that stuff and we were very close to the department, and I could personally wander in and see the chair of the psychology department and did so regularly. Anyway, table in there, and we held tutorials, but also what we did was we played a lot of 500 card games, you know, and we had like sing-alongs and stuff, and so we had my good friend Simon would do the guitar, and my good friend Will, who ended up being in a band, did the drums, and you know, we had music going on, and we had this quiet guy in the corner who was studying a bit of psychology, mainly there to do economics, who did a bit of 500 stuff and did a bit of guitar, a quiet guy called Andrew McElroy, who ended up becoming an artist. And that's one of his pictures.
Do you guys have a... Is it Australia? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. So that's the link with the artist. He was a friend of mine, playing cards, guitar, and hanging around the psychology common room when not.
Is Australia a good place for you know, the telescopes? Do they have a department, astronomy department?
It is, Hatter, because once you get out of the main capital cities in Australia, and you only have to be 50 or 100 miles, there's not a lot of very much there, yeah? So the main issue with telescopes and stuff looking out into the sky and looking at the sky full stop is there's pollution from the lights from the cities, and it stops you seeing what's in front of you in the sky. Well, as I said, with Australia, you get out of the main capital cities, there's bugger all there. And so much less when you get hundreds of miles away from a city like we used to be, you know, down at my grandparents' farm in Portland. And, you know, you could look up and see, you know, full universes and cosmoses and stuff in front of you, and it, because there was no light pollution. So it's a great place to view the skies. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the one in Hawaii is on that mountaintop, and it's above the clouds. I think Costa Rica or Chile, or I think it's Chile or Peru, one of them, Costa Rica.
Yes.
They're actually above fog level that sets in every day.
The
planetariums, your planetariums would be more in the hills unless you're on a university and it's hit and miss the weather.
That's right. Well, we just have planetariums in the middle of the countryside. We don't worry about putting them up on a hill somewhere. But we do have a caller, Hatter, strangely enough. Hello, 440. Welcome to the show.
Hello, it's Stephen.
Yeah.
Hello, Stephen. How are you?
Hello.
Good, how are you? Hello.
I'm very well. How are you?
Look, he's in a night suit. Where'd you get that?
I know you've got a poem. Did you do a sound card for it, or did you want to read it? What's your view of the world?
So I did do an audio for it because there's I collabed with Ryan Reynolds and Dolly Parton on this. So I
get
had
out of here! Oh, wow! That's what you say is impressive, Stephen. So I think we have to go and get the sound cloud, if that's the case, and listen to this collaboration, Stephen. So, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Well, here we go. Here's the sound cloud.
Da Benny Boy by Stephen 76. With acrobatic grace and balance, Freon tickles my tail. A leap across foamy memory, plastic sheet, music wail. diving through the hollow core, held ajar by shellless seeds, upon unstained tabletop where coffee never bleeds. Somersault on comfort Davenport, paw stand upon barstool, flip the Formica countertop, make them all to look the fool. Dive to granulated absorbent, making business by the hair, and as my paw does bury it, I say...
Hey! Hi, baby! Love the timing, Steven. That's just, you just nailed the time. Who doesn't like 9 to 5 by Dolly Parton? Hatter, did you want to say a few words?
Yeah, but first of all, I loved the speed that you added that. I think it was my pair. Do you know the difference between a sofa, a couch, a Davenport, and a, what's the, divan? A divan?
No, what's the difference?
It's a question. There's a difference. Davenport. Anytime I heard that used, I got to ask them the question. You want to go to the high sky, guys?
I can tell you from the dictionary that a Davenport is a large, heavily upholstered sofa in North America. However, in Britain, it's an ornamental writing desk.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah, completely different. Completely different.
Yeah. Now, a divan and a couch. Now, see, I think the terms would be argumented wherever different places you would ask the question. Remember those couches that have, like, it's really high back on one side and then tapers off to nothing that's about 9 feet long, you know? Usually Mae West, I think, would be laying on it.
That is the same in Britain and the U.S. So there you go. That is the same. But not Davenport. Deb, did you want to talk about Stephen's phone, palm, including the word Davenport?
Yeah, I love the cat that you got for this one. He's very, very cool, and I like the chaos that you put through the poem because it works well with Deadpool all the way through. Driving through the hollow core, held ajar by selfless seeds upon a strained tabletop where coffee never bleeds. I had visions of the coffee spilling all over the place, even though it says it never bleeds. But like I said, and then the look on Deadpool's face when you get to the GIF at the end, it's really, really cool. And I especially like that you call it a collab between the two. It came out really, really cool. Enjoyed it.
Great work, Stephen. Yeah. You've already wound your way through many hours on the airwaves. Did you want to say a few things about what's coming up on your network, Steve?
What is coming up on our network? Monday is the Mortuary of Shadows at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. And we're almost getting ready to wrap up our Christmas in July, but Monday will be Open Dark Christmas Poetry. So bring something dark about 7:30 p.m.
Well, there you go. Out the spiced eggnog, the chili eggnog, even. You know, really make it dangerous. Yeah? So, I don't know. What else could you do? You could wire in the shortbread? I don't know. Oh! I know what you could do. You could have a tiger snake in the Christmas tree. We've had that before.
Yeah.
I
like it.
Classics.
I don't think Kay would like that very much. Just saying.
Well, depends on whether it's tiger snakes or not, Deb. I mean, you know, some people are and some people aren't. I mean, it's a thing, but, you know, saying it could
well,
be there.
I'm fairly
you know.
Sure that it would easily try to eat her fur baby, so it's definitely not a good idea for Kay's place.
Yeah, no, it's probably true, actually. Snakes do that. They sort of make pests of themselves. They're not just dangerous. They're sort of pests, really. So, you know, they photobomb things
so
and all that stuff. You know.
So Sky, have a cat.
She, I think she just passes over her godchildren's critters. Like they're naked cats.
Fair enough, too.
Yeah, they have
now, Stephen, yeah. And I pay there too. We are going to do, because we've sort of got halfway through the show, we're going to do the finale of Gonzo and his quite remarkable episode two. Did you want to hang on, or did you want to disappear into the night waves, so to speak, before we do that?
I'll hang for Gonzo.
Oh, yeah. Righto. Well, that being the case, I will say that, you know, I think, Deb, this is the last episode of this particular Gonzo production. Is that fair to say?
Sadly.
This is finale part two of what has been quite an astounding piece of what can I call it? Radio production, really, and an inspired sort of use of a large cast and you know just about everything you could nail your socks to in terms of getting something out and producing it. So we are now presenting the final Gonzo piece, part two of the finale, and it goes like this.
Charming scurried like a rat through the paths of the soldiers who felt like their shoulders were constructed of boulders. Faced with the prospect of being burned alive, none of them were now willing to sacrifice their lives, at least for nothing less than a chance to survive. As powerful as Charming thought he was, he knew the castle was felled. No one knew just how willing he was to leave the queen in that hell. Making his way towards the center well in the courtyard, he was amazed by the destruction he saw. He surely knew one wrong move, he'd be through, so he needed to rally the guard.
Men, will you not protect your king? Are you all cowards?
And what of your queen?
Yes, and what about your queen?
I'm so glad you're alive, darling. I was on my way back with the wine when your dragon attacked. Well, and I almost died.
That would have been a pity.
What?
Oh, we need to exit the city.
Led by the soldiers towards the front gate, Charming and the queen's foul mouths were left agape. Standing amongst debris and singed blackened flora, ready for battle was hardened Princess Aurora. The queen cackled loud and Charming stood proud.
And what in the hell do you want now?
As the mercenaries began stepping toward a steady stance sleepy, the sound of pounding fists made the guards feel queasy. Because unbeknownst to the parties involved, the mirror smartly shined to the Crooked Creek pub and the local meat shop and the local beet crop and anything that shined or glistened or gleamed all the way to the swamp and everywhere in between. He spoke in detail to any who'd listen about the truth of the queen and Sleepy's cruel prison.
How the crown failed them and was a call of attrition.
Before the mirror knew it, a rebellion had risen. As the splintering boards gave way for the doors, as the crowd entered loud, thirsty for blood and holding ground. Sleepy looked around and saw the villagers had taken her side. This was the world she once looked at with pride. Honest creatures of all creeds standing side by side, ready to die to defend what is right. The rebels rushed the guards with chaotic will, thrill-seeking risks giving the queen's men the chills. Spying the two cowards fleeing the scene of the battle, Sleepy chased the queen and Charming out the courtyard of the castle. Before they could make it even halfway, the dragon mid-flight torpedoed toward the tower like a meteorite, leaving the entryway sealed rather tight.
Okay, well, at least we died together, my lord.
Oh, shut up, you useless hag. Don't you have any tunnels or secret passages in this place?
Why are you speaking to me so?
While the two argued out of fire-breathing range, the giant beast retched its breast rather strange. it heaved its chest sharply inwards and out, spouting viscous fluid from out of its mouth.
It's the one chance we've got. Head for the gates. Oh, thank God, I think it's dying.
They did not, for the mighty throat of the mythical beast was simply regurgitating a previous beast. Spewing out from its digestive tract was a knight's suit of armor, fully intact, the mirror watching them both from the shine on the suit's back.
Furball. No, wait. Sirball.
Nailed it. Charming barely spotted Sleepy with his depth of field as he pulled the dress of the queen and used her as a human shield. Hiding behind his forsworn love, the blade slashed across her upper arm, drawing blood. The queen's eyes wide had died inside, no longer fell for the charm of this thug as she pressed him back towards the water well dug.
You traitor! You've been waiting for this moment whole time. You want her to kill me.
No, darling, you slipped.
Preferably, you would kill her, and then he would kill you, or,
did you forget saying?
I'm gonna wrap my hands around her frail, decrepit neck and snap it like a cracker.
Queen lunged her nails at Charming's throat as the two struggled unaware of their approach. She gave one final jolt to the man she previously thought to vote. The two crest the edge of the moss-covered well. A sudden loss of balance at jerking motions propelled the dastardly duo to the fate they befell. Charming's fingers held on to the cracks in between, but he was weighed down by the gown of the queen.
Aurora! Aurora! You have to get me
How
out of here!
How dare you call out to her!
Aurora! I need you now more than ever!
Sleepy looked down, ignoring his pleas as Charming and the Queen fought each other to breathe.
You really think you're better than me? I know what I want, and I'll kill anyone who dares to get in my way. What have you been doing for the last 31 days?
Living a lie. I don't want to do this anymore.
Sleepy's hands released the blade, at peace with her own decision she had finally made for herself and no one else would dissuade. She pulled the short levers, Charming so clever, quickly moved away from the oak bucket that splayed over the queen's head, knocking her under the waves.
Oh, thank God. Please drown. Please drown. Oh, this day sucks. Stop being dramatic and help me climb up the
you
rope.
You help me up the rope. I'm your queen.
You two deserve each other.
As Sleepy began walking, she found a crowd starting to form as the villagers brought water and fire-suppressing foam to put out the carnage and salvage the throne. The many villagers had overthrown their oppressors while some were discussing the monarchy's successor.
Princess Aurora, we're glad you're alive.
You crush my pumpkin.
Well, we all agree, and we believe that you, Aurora, you should be our new queen.
You want a queen? She's back in that well, because that's what the throne does to people. I wouldn't trust anyone with it, even me.
Well, what do you think we should do?
I don't know how many great victories you've had, but I have never had one in my whole life, and I sure as hell ain't gonna stand around here talking politics. I want me a pint.
Well, there's no way all these people are fitting inside the Crooked Creek.
You know what? I think I know the perfect place.
I know you. I want to be one of your
buddies. Hey, Aurora, great to see you again.
Hi, Todd.
Oh, no way. Goosey Goose, dude. We want 500 Tartagumbos.
We're here to feast.
Ain't no better feast than the lambs, my friends. So who's picking up this check?
She'll pay. She crushed my pumpkin.
Shh. Hey, let me pay for it.
It's Neil Patrick Harris.
He's got skin like September rain.
Least I can do.
You know you made my boss solid sky, right?
Doja.
Yeah, it was a dick move on my part. That's why I'm paying for your meal.
Fair enough.
Todd, seriously, do you think these jokes are funny? 500 slider combos? We haven't made 500 slider combos since we've been oh, pissed my mother's panties.
Hey, check out all the customers, Mr. Papadopoulos. Who's ready for some White Castle?
Run up!
Well, it's finally here, Todd. Anarchy! Anarchy!
Give me a boost.
With what?
Go underwater and lift me up.
With what?
Hey, you guys know I'm real tight with Lassie, right? Chicken cat here, lickety-split.
Why does water have to be shiny?
Shut up, fool. He can help us.
How? He doesn't have arms.
Lassie has arms.
Quiet, you pawn.
He'll tell someone we're down here, and he'll get us out.
Oh. I already told someone you were stuck down here, but I don't think they're going to let you out.
Oh, is that the sonar?
Yeah. Long live the new king.
Well, we collectively dip our total hats and lids towards Gonzo and the great crew that he assembled to put all that together, because it somehow managed to get more jokes in there per minute and second than I think any of the rest of the episode. He really fired them in there with great speed. Deb, what did you think of the Gonzo finale part two?
You know, this team that he put together to make this is incredible, and all the different voices and sounds and sights that pulled us through this. This one had me laughing. I'm trying to find, like, you know, you've heard of castles in stories like Sleeping Beauty before, but I'm pretty sure this is the first time I've heard it as White Castle for those burgers. And like, with the little pieces, like, well, we've never cooked that many sliders, and just all the detail and time and energy they put into this, it was such a treat. And I'm actually very much looking forward to hearing them back to back in one story, start to finish.
When are we going to do that? When
it was great
fun
all the way through, and I look forward to their next project very much. No pressure, though, Gonzo. Fabulous. Every single one of you should be really proud of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's a tremendous amount of work, but great skill also, and terrific writing's gone into it. Stephen, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Did you want to say a few words about...
considering that, I was just telling Kay a little while ago that I was thinking about going to YouTube and listening to them all back to back, really, you know, catching the storm. But I really like this, and like you, Deb, I was laughing in quite a few parts, especially Charming going, Aurora, I need you now, and it just, I'm glad I was muted, because it was cracking me up all over the place, and then the Sir Ball, too, instead of the Fur Ball, when he spit up the suit of armor, that was enough, too. And then bringing back Neil Patrick Harris. You gotta love that. And, you know, I am a fan of Neil Patrick Harris, and I have to agree, every show I've seen him on, Skin Like September Rain. This is awesome.
Yeah, brilliant. Brilliant. Stephen. Hatter, did you want to say a few words?
Yeah, everything Stephen just said, exactly. And there were parts in here that the rhyme was spot on, and he did it very – he didn't linger around it. He went right through it. And if you when you do that and you catch your ear catches it, it means it's perfectly written as far as the cadence. One of them was, where is that? And the local beat crop and anything that shined or glistened or gleamed all the way to the swamp and everything and everywhere in between. What comes after that and leads up to it. There's several of those throughout this, and I really enjoy those.
Yeah, I agree.
The way he reads it, he reads it really fast. Normally you'd want to slow him down, but not in this case.
Rhyme within the rhyme. Like, for example, all the crew went and got foam, and he made it rhyme with throne, which was really cute. Just cute and neat things all the way through that just, you know, it involved a considerable amount of thought just to put it together. These things don't happen just because they happen, because some mind is sitting behind it with really impressive degree of thought, you know.
Yeah, really thought out. I'm sure he's got it down, how he, you know, creates this, but still, there's got to be a lot of time in it.
Oh, it's got to be a lot of time to actually get that straight ahead and to make it work. It's just impressive, really is. So now, Hatter, the time has come. I warned you this time would come when I'm going to turn to you to think about what should be our next theme, because we've got a piece here from Deb to do, and then home. So,
space. Ready? Space.
Yes. Oh, you can go space, are you?
Space.
Space.
Cool.
Space.
Everything about it.
Oh, you know, you'll get me every time on space. I've been telling Deb how much I've been enjoying all of the wonderful pictures that we've been getting from the brand new telescope that's out there, Hatter. The wonderful, wonderful images, and Deb's going to do a show on them because they're so brilliant. So look at that coming up. But we can do space before then. Not a problem at all. Happy to.
Yeah, it's going to space that it covers the whole gamut of ideas. Space, you can do a lot with it. It could be outer space, inner space, space.
No, it's a good theme. I agree with you. Good theme. So, if onwards and forwards, I agree. So we will go with the wonderful world of space. That means I can get my maps out, of Triton, from when the last probe went past them. I've got copies of the NASA maps. Would you believe of Triton?
Did we have a collab?
Sorry, Hatter?
Did we have a collab?
You do not, but I will get you a photo for next week, for the earlier show.
We'll do it for next week. We'll have a collab for next week. We got a week off because we got on the front page, Hatter, last night.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know how that happened.
Yep. We collectively got a week off. Meanwhile, Deb, we have your poem to do. So I am going to copy that, and I'm going to put it up on the board. And you can
dark and dreary.
No, it was deliberately done for that not to be the case. You were listening before. Okay, Deb, we're in your hands.
Hatter, I didn't bring that one. I brought one that's more fun. It's called Han Solo's Cat is a Scoundrel Too.
Hey, Deb.
And here we go. To win the kitty candy and crunchy catnip, Roscoe Solo plays taser tag and laser light. He straps on the arsenal belt hip hugger and kicks into gear for the big feline fight. Princess Purr, the Skywalker, stares now as he waves space weapons in her sight. Chewbacca's caddy called Smuggler flicks his tail in the air and passes by her. Swinging his tail in the hollow moon square, then he roars, wielding his brass bowcaster. The Millennium Falcon's captain's the referee. If he blows that whistle, all the battlers stir. Stormtrooper's white cat flashes with red, slicing green beams on the sky's gray view. Darth Black Cat Vader hisses and growls, staring nose to whiskers with Leia the Blue. The shadow lands wear blood red hue, till Roscoe Solo swings through night's air like all the white knights on the steeds do, and winning the titanium saber trophy too. End poem. And that's Roscoe in the author's notes.
There you go. Roscoe, the Star Wars cat lead. That's pretty funky. I mean, you know, when in doubt, go with Star Wars, I say, Deb. And if you can do that with a cat, then why the heck not? Hatter, did you want to say some words about Han Solo crossed with the cat?
Yeah, straight cat, strut. I'm a lady's cat. I'm a feline Casanova. Hey, man, that.
Love that song.
Get a shoe thug, that be a beat old man. Get my dinner from a garbage can. Yeah, it reminded me of the whole way. That was pretty good. Let me get back to it. Now, why? Oh, that was to the picture. To the picture,
yeah,
right?
The one at the top is one of the choices from Sky's picture prompt for her show. But I had no choice but to go with him because, I mean, if you scroll down to Roscoe, it even looks like he's wearing the damn vest that the cat in the photo at the top is wearing. So.
They're pretty simple.
And that's my cat. That's my
Roscoe,
boy.
That's it.
At the bottom.
You can see him
with
the
blaster. Yeah. Yep. Dark cat. Black cat Vader.
Yep. Same with the blaster. So.
Oh, yeah. Looks just like him. There, let's go.
It
right.
is.
All right.
It is. It is. The two
He's
cats could be sort of copies of each other. They're so similar.
He's got that look. He's got that look like I want to be petted, but I sort of want to bite you too.
No, it's more that, you know, it's more that look, you know, I'm sort of cleverer than you and I've got a blaster, so go away. It's that sort of look. It is the Han Solo look.
Yeah, that's the top look. And then the look in the author's notes is, I love you, Mama.
There you go.
And who's Smugler?
Chewbacca's
cat, he calls Smugler. This is just a name or Chewbacca's cat. Smuggler.
Well, Han Solo was a smuggler, so
Han
I
Solo
tried to.
That's why. Yeah, absolutely. That's why.
So I tried to pull in as many things that would say Star Wars to your brain, yet turn it into a.
At home. There you go. I'll be very well.
Does Roscoe hiss at you?
Is Roscoe what? Sorry.
You know. That's it.
Chloe, never at me.
Chloe, it's a part of her vocabulary. She that's how she communicates. She's not mad at anything. She comes by and hit and does that. It's the strangest thing.
Well, there you go. I can see a show coming up.
If he acts like he's going to bite you, he'll like touch your skin with his teeth, but then he'll kiss it better all in one breath.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Final Frontier.
There you go. So, Deb, Hatter, we have got through the list poems. We have a theme for next week in space. Now, we should say next week we are going to be on air 2 hours earlier. Next week we are going to be on air 2 hours earlier. I'll say it again. So if you want to capture us and space, you do have to listen a couple of hours earlier. And
so that'd be eight
Eastern? That just what?
5 your time, Hatter.
Yeah, 5 my time. Okay.
Yep, that's it. 5 o'clock your time. So, I do have
one announcement.
Announcement, okay.
Well, the sad news that they put the monarch butterfly on the endangered species list. Deborah, I saw one today.
I know, Hattie. That's why I've been so surprised because lately I've been seeing them. And then when the thing came across the ticker saying that they were added to the endangered list, it just broke my heart. Mm-hmm. Especially when all you had to do is contact that place and they'll send you free seeds. And if we could just plant enough places for them to eat, we might be able to help save them. Just saying.
Yeah, is that a milkweed plant? What is that plant?
It's milkweed.
It's what?
Yep. There you go.
You're right, it's milkweed.
Milkweed, okay.
Yep.
Yeah, anybody listening, get some milkweed and grow some monarchs.
Grow some stuff for butterflies.
Because Deb mentioned it, was it yesterday? You mentioned it. I had not seen a Western monarch for a long time, and just had one come flying in flooded around me for about 5 minutes and took off. It was great. Body, you dead?
Very cute. Very, very cute. Okay, so let's thank the crew that came in and helped us. Of course, we've got to thank Stephen and Kay, who are regular visitors past. We should thank Gonzo for letting us play his wonderful series over the scope of the last week on our shows.
So is it
and of course,
AP? Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes.
What's up? I was wondering if do we have any information on Gonzo? Is he going to start another one? Is that it? And when are we going to play? When are we going to play them all in sequence?
Okay.
And I'm going to go.
What I do know is that I don't have a date picked out yet, but I will figure out what day we will do it, and it will be a show just to play them back to back. And I just so happen to have heard from Gonzo, who is probably listening right now, that he'll be uploading the full chapter series to YouTube soon for listening leisure. So there'll be many ways to hear the complete series.
So it's good.
And he did also mention to me that it took months to do this. So he's going to take a break and then see what he can come up with. And he's open to ideas or suggestions if anyone wants to message him or would like to be one of the voices, just saying.
All right, I've got some suggestions, Gonzo. I'll send them to you. Was there five total? Was there five episodes
No, we didn't miss any. There was 10 parts, but part 10 was in two parts, so sort of 11.
It was 11.
We only had six or five?
No,
so,
we had them all, most of them were averaged about 5 minutes, and we've had them on our shows for the last few months, one episode each Saturday. And then this last one tonight was approximately 9 minutes. So you figure it'll take about another hour to do the back-to-back episodes on a show and get to hear it from start to finish without interruption or having to wait. So that, I'm looking forward to listening to it.
I wonder how he's going to do the video part of YouTube. Is he just going to do a picture story?
I don't know. I know you don't have to add photos to YouTube, so I guess it's an I don't know if they're dabbling in that.
Okay.
Guess we'll have to check out the YouTube channel to find out.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'd like to be part of the art. I'd like to be part of the art thing.
There you go. There's an opportunity to contribute right up front, Patter, apart from anything else. So, Deb, did you want to talk about any of the shows that are coming up on A Team of Voices in the next few days?
Well, on Monday, it's the Mystery Package show, 10 o'clock. You pick one of the available numbers, and I send you the package that goes with it, which is a piece of art, which is a lyric, which is that would set your theme poem. Then there's a word bank that you have to choose six words from. And then there's two silly words, and you must use both silly words in your poem. So there's that. And then Tuesday night at 10 will be Sweet Pea. I just do not know her topic yet. So there's the next couple.
Right.
You take suggestions too?
Pardon me?
Suggestion, like would you be into possibly taking like hook lines from existing poems for a prompt?
I have my prompts set up until January in my drafts, and I have a couple that I haven't added any lyrics or anything to, so it could be part of one of them if you would like. We could talk about it later.
Sure.
And meantime, Deb, we have Sweet on the board, who says that she has got on Tuesday, I slipped off my soapbox, but she does make the point that she does need some people to actually contribute. So if you're out there and you're looking for something to write on, you should go to Sweet's homepage on A Team of Voices and have a look and get into I slipped off my soapbox and run
well,
through it.
Well, the thing is, she was trying to politely tell us that we were ignoring her and leaving her sit in the studio.
Oh, she could have been doing that too, but, you know, that would...
That's pretty much what I meant.
Sweet potato pie. I smelled sweet
potato
pie.
But I like you encouraging people to come to my show, too. I really like that, too.
Did you? Oh, that's okay. I mean, you know, I was trying to pick up the... Okay, cool.
I like that a lot.
Okay. Well, you know.
Because I do need that, too. I need everybody that wants to... Yes. Come to my show on Tuesday night.
Come to your show on Tuesday night.
Tuesday's night is...
Yeah. Nice.
And I was there with bells on. It's got to be said, last Tuesday, Sweet. I didn't have a lot of time, but I was very well researched for my piece last Tuesday. Thank you for nominating
me. Yes,
page.
You were.
Yes.
It was very, very, very good. Tuesday night is I slipped off my soapbox. So I don't want to hear about what your soapbox thing was. I want to hear about when you were all about the most... like so on it and you knew it was the most important thing and somebody turned around and went, no, that's not right at all.
Yeah,
so you slipped off your soapbox moment.
Like the Rosanna Dana, never mind.
What kind of stuff?
Yes.
Never mind.
Doesn't matter what the soapbox is, had it, you've got to slip off it. Yeah? Doesn't matter what it is. So that's the important bit. So there you go. Okay, well, Sweet, you just joined us, and of course, you know, we're just about to pack up shop and sort of disappear off for lunch or dinner or very late.
I know, but I just wanted to say hi.
Hi, Sweet.
Oh, no, and you should, because I was going to say, you know, you can slide a poem in if you want before we finish. That was going to be what I said, but you don't.
That's fine. I don't even know what the subject was tonight.
The subject
was? Late night.
The what? Knight, the White Knight, the thing that comes to the rescue of stuff, the White Knight. That was the subject.
Oh,
of
I
my,
can see that.
My topic, obviously, because, you know, lateral, strange, French.
Just a flesh
12th century, all that. 12th century, all that stuff. So, Sweet, did you want to put something up that you could take us out with?
Does it have to be white, or can it just be night?
No, it can be night. You can extend night past white, if you wish.
We'll think white.
All right. Yep. So that's the rhyme, even though it was quite funky.
I see. No one likes to talk to me. I'm here.
No, well, you know, we did. Just, we were sort of busy doing other things for you, though.
Something.
It has to be said.
Not like you couldn't let yourself in.
Well, you know, Deb finally let you in. You know, that's meant to be my job, Hatter, but, you know, it's sloppy.
Sweet
is
Tupelo honey.
So, as you
all right.
It's Sunday here. I'm in a bit. You know, as you are.
Well, let me see. I've got a few things I can read, so let me see what I might look at. If you just give me one moment,
you can have one. And so next
1 minute,
time
okay.
around. We are talking about space. Now, remember, of course, that we are going to be a couple of hours early. Talking about space, but we will be a couple of hours early. So just make sure you don't miss us. You call in at your normal time. So a couple of hours early, just for next week. Now, Sweet, have I given you enough time to put something up on the board?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Almost.
I'm not being very productive at all, am I?
You're sort of standing as if you've sort of got something, but you're sort of not sort of convinced yourself yet, really.
I know.
I'm just glad you're here.
I know.
In my, I wasn't looking at the board because I wasn't thinking anybody would be there. So, you know, but, you know, I'm very glad that you're here this way. It's good to have you.
I don't know if I quite have what you're looking for, but I have something. Okay, so we're just going to go with this. It's got nothing to do with anything that you're doing, so I'm just going to go with this. And go, hey, sorry, guys. This is what I'm going with tonight.
No, it's better than what I've got. Because I could go with another night poem, but it would be a palindrome, and it would annoy a cat of no end. So whatever you've got is going to be better.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
I got one with a night in it.
We're in your hands.
So this is Love Me Into Bitterness. Whispers in the wind interrupt my silence. Sackless the pain, I break the chains of you. Teardrops stream down red cheeks. Memories of monstrosities whistle melancholy tunes from guilty lips. Say the Holy Trinity, die in peace tonight. The solitary train runs on one track, grinding and smashing brain cells, sad echoes of conductor wails. All aboard, welcome to the feast. Welcome to feast on my hell. Silence has no golden tone, screeching sounds of rusty trombone. Broken nails on the chalkboard insist I conform to the norm. Alone in solitude, a time to reflect. Silence is an enemy left to breed insecurities. In the depths of loneliness where I hear myself breathe. Let me scream at midnight moons, alive, confused, with wishes I choose. Alone, listen to the rambling of doubt, convincing me to leave my pain forever here on earth. I will leave you, crushing the souls that love me into bitterness. Simple.
Bitterness.
And that was
good.
Well, Hannah, what did you think?
I like it. I like it. The way you read it, too. A little despair. Alone in solitude, the time to reflect. I think that's what's missing in our world is solitary time for people. That's when you do yourself, you reflect and self-evaluation, I guess. It's like staring staring in the mirror. It's hard to do. Take 6 minutes and stare into the mirror and see what happens. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Very good.
That was interesting. I thought this is what happens when you sort of don't have that white knight come along and you have to manage it yourself sometimes. And it sort of turns into this. Deb, what do you want to say a few words?
You know where Deb went.
Deb might have had to drop because she's got to head back to get to do some family things. So I think she's had to drop. But very well done, Sweet. Good choice.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. Good choice.
Thank you.
And a good way to finish. So, Hannah, we are going to head out. We're going to head out a long way.
I got to say one thing, if I could. Sweet. You know, there's something about the way you write that's very familiar. It sounds very familiar to me, and I think I figured it out. We use a lot of the same descriptive words in how we describe. I think that's the familiar. Why I get a familiar ring in my ears when you read your stuff, and you're witty. Your wit is always plus. I think you figured it out. Thank you for
the well, that's a very high compliment.
Well done. Well done, Heather.
Thank you.
Well done, sweet. And so with that, we are going to say thank you again to Deb and to Sweet and to Heather and to Gonzo and to Stephen and Kay, and say we will see you all in a couple of weeks. Next week, a couple of hours early for space. We'll be right out there, Heather. We'll be right out there.
Yeah.
You know, when in doubt, go right out there. You might have to open it up.
All right.
19, you know, the great space.
The final
sort of thing. Yes, yes.
Well, if I get back in time with dogs, I will do my best to be here.
Thank you. And we will do our best to slip off the soapbox with you in a few days. Sweet. So we will catch up with you then. And thank you, everybody.
Oh,
and we will catch you back next week. Bye, Hannah.
Hey, Pete. Hey, Pete.
Hi.
One thing.
Yes,
one thing.
Hannah.
Are you still there?
Yes, one thing.
One thing. If you go to YouTube, look up Matt Cottle. Cottle, I think his last name is. He won the English version of Britain's Got Talent. I think it was. He does a version of Knights in White Satin. It's just absolutely great piece.
Okay.
It's a hard song to copy, and he does very well.
No, do that. So until we catch you in a week's time, a couple of hours early, we'll see you then for space, and we will sign off. See you later, Hatter. Okay.
Bye-bye. See you.
Bye, everybody.
Talk to tomorrow. See you tomorrow. Your day. My day.
Okay. Okay. Bye, everybody.
Bye, sweets.
She's just gone.
She's gone. Bye, AP.
See you later,
Hatter. Pleasure, dude.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Talk soon.